This is THP Radio on the Hackers Paradise Network. On-demand audio for the world of golf like never before. Welcome to The Dean Has Spoken with your hosts, JB and The Dean.
Welcome, everyone, to THP Radio. I'm your host, JB, and today we have a new episode of The Dean Has Spoken. This show is co-hosted by none other than THP staff writer extraordinaire Dean. And he can be found on the THP forum, as well as on Twitter, at Dean of THP. Welcome. How are you?
Good, Josh. Welcome to be back. And hey, another major championship week. So soon.
That's right. The Dean Has Spoken is a new twist on your on-demand audio in the world of golf. We'll be talking equipment, tour golf, and the industry happenings, as well as anything else that strikes our fancy, with the key here being that the Dean of THP will always have the final word. This is a special show. This one's on the PGA Championship.
Yeah, you know, this is obviously the final major, Glory's last shot, and here we are on this show going for the season Grand Slam.
The Grand Slam and predictions. We've gotten the first three right, and we'll touch on that a little bit later, but first three right with this one on the horizon.
Yeah, it's going to be it seems to be a wide open field. You know, it's going back to a historic venue in Baltusrol. So, you know, we'll get to our picks later, but I believe we have some topics to discuss first.
We do. Before we get started, I want to thank our sponsor, Encore Golf, for being a part of The Dean Has Spoken. Encore Golf is more than a golf ball. It's about a lifestyle that's about doing, being, and giving more. Be more with Encore. So, as you said, we'll get to our predictions later, but before we go forward, I want to talk about our first topic here, and that's the PGA Championship as a major. A lot of times, it seems to get lost in the shuffle. We've even seen and read people sending in things saying that the Players' Championship should kind of take the place of it. Is that your feeling? You know, where do you feel on it as it stands with the different majors?
Well, it's, you know, in our ranking, or my ranking, I should say, it's clearly the fourth best major. And it's not because of the time of year that it is, or a knock on the venues, because I actually like the courses that they go to, and I really like the setup. For most of the tournaments, it just doesn't seem to carry, you know, the same weight, you know, the Masters does, or, you know, either the Open Championship or the U.S. Open. And I don't know why that is. I mean, it's older than the Masters, but yet the Masters kind of, you know, leapfrogged and became such more of a prestigious tournament. And I don't know why the PGA Championship doesn't come along and, you know, fit in with those, but it just doesn't seem to have the same cachet as all of those other tournaments do.
You know, I tend to agree with you. I've struggled with the Open Championship in recent years based on a lot of factors that we discussed last week. But the PGA, it does two things right and two things wrong. We won't get into everything, but the course selection to me is fantastic. The time of year is fantastic. However, I think that the general public and the consumer viewing public doesn't really get into watching the PGA professionals play. I think that's a big part of it. And the excitement happens for the first three, and then, you know, now you've added WGC events and the Players' Championship and the playoffs coming up and the Ryder Cup year and everything else, and it does kind of get lost in the shuffle. But let me switch gears real fast. This year, it's being so close to the Open Championship because we have the Olympics and everything. Does that change it for you a little bit?
Well, it kind of does, but it just seems rushed. You know, everything seems so cramped in. Going back to the U.S. Open with Dustin Johnson, I mean, I can't remember who said it on TV. One of the announcers, he said, you know, you could have a career in 7 weeks. You know, if you get really hot, you can win the U.S. Open, go on to the British, and then, you know, go here. But that obviously didn't happen. Dustin Johnson did not win the Open Championship. We know that now. But it just seems so cramped in there. But I think it actually built a little bit more excitement for it because the Olympics are coming up and nobody really knows what's going to happen there. To me, it just feels cramped. But I guess I'm kind of into it because where the Olympics took the place. But I don't know. Overall, it's still not my favorite major championship.
Yeah, like I said, I think the cramping this year will hurt it long term, but help it for the excitement, partially due to the fact that we just had arguably the most epic Sunday finish in golf history. And we're, you know, the PGA Championship being so close to that. So I think that could help it.
Yeah, I mean, it couldn't have a better lead into the PGA Championship. You know, usually it's the WGC Bridgestone event leading into it. This one was the Open Championship, and it was just an epic showdown, a duel on Sunday. That really does carry a lot of momentum into this one. So we'll see if that, you know, helps it out ratings-wise, too.
This past week, we had another first-time winner. And Henrik Stenson, just want to point that out, that was another one of our picks. He won the Open Championship, and that is giving us kind of a first-time winner kind of year.
Yeah, three straight first-time winners in the season for majors. We had Danny Willett, Dustin Johnson, and obviously, you know, a couple weeks ago we had Henrik Stenson. You know, if that happens here, it'll be the first time since 2011 that all four majors were won by first-timers.
That was a unique year, too.
It was a very unique year, and we'll see if that trend carries over. I'm not so sure it will because of Baltusrol. I think that's going to bring in some guys that have won majors before, but it very easily could.
Now, my question to you, why are we seeing it now? Is it just because there's so much good talent on the tour that hadn't won a major yet? Because for a couple of decades now, we've been dominated by a select few names. Or is it because lightning in a bottle, they caught it and that was it, and we may or may not see them again?
No, I think fields are just so deep right now. You know, I thought the Masters kind of showed that. We had Jordan Spieth with that, you know, the good lead going into the back nine. He stumbled a little bit, and instantly, you know, you saw guys like Lee Westwood in the mix. You saw Dustin Johnson in the mix. And you saw Danny Willett, who, you know, just charged forward, and he ended up taking it.
Yeah, he took the ball and ran with it as soon as he had an opening.
Yeah, so I think the field's being so deep, if there is somebody above them that stumbles a little bit or gives them a, you know, lets off the gas a touch, there's always going to be another, you know, player or, you know, in some of these cases, three ready to go. At the Open Championship, that obviously was not going to happen. Those guys, you know, Mickelson and Stenson were so far ahead of the field, it was ridiculous. You know, at the U.S. Open, Dustin Johnson and Lowry were tight for a little bit. Lowry had a bigger lead, then he stumbled and DJ went forward. I think that's just what we see. A lot of guys in the mix, sometimes guys don't know how to handle that pressure, you know, like Johnny Miller likes to remind us. It's how you react on that back nine or the last 18 on a Sunday at the major to see if you could charge forward or not. And there's a lot of guys in play each and every week that have the confidence to go out and win.
Will we see it moving forward? And I don't want to tip our hand on your picks or anything. Will we see that moving forward with the PGA Championship and beyond? Meaning, is this going to be the new trend? Young, hungry players, or in this case, you know, like a couple weeks ago, veteran players that just hadn't won yet, scooping them up? Or are we getting to the point? I mean, there's only a couple guys in the top 10 that don't have them now.
Yeah, I mean, only Ricky Fowler and Sergio are in that top 10 without having a major. And so I think we're going to see more guys pick up that elusive victory. I mean, you have Brandon Grace is up there. Patrick Reed is up there. JB Holmes, I mean, he's really come back from all the surgeries that he's had. It's fun to see. And then there you have young guys like Matsuyama and Brooks Koepka. And then you have another veteran like Snedeker. These guys can definitely, you know, go out and win majors. It's just a matter of when. And you know, it used to be back in the, I want to say the golden days, but I mean, not too long ago.
The golden,
you know,
days, huh?
The golden days. Not too long ago when we had Tiger Woods and Phil Mickelson, you know, and Ernie Els and Vijay dominating, you know, fields. You looked at a field for a major and you probably picked out, what do you want to say, 10 to 15 names of guys who can win them. You know, now you scroll down the list, and I know we use the top 40, you know, outside the top 40 is our sleepers, but you look at the anybody in that top 40, and there are a lot of good players that easily could go out, take charge, and win a major. And then you look from 40 to 100, and there's another probably 15 or 20 names that just jump right off the page at you.
Yeah, I mean, when I was doing my research for this show, I'm looking for players that I thought, wow, you know, this guy's been hitting the ball well, playing well, and they're like 76. I found Gary Woodland, and I'm like, this guy, he enjoys the course. Everything about him says he should play well at the PGA. He's not even in the event.
Yeah, the fields are deep. That's a great case right there. Fields are so deep now. You know, there's a lot of guys that can win, and I think that's the parity that we're seeing. I know there's the big four in golf that everybody likes to talk about, but the fields are just so much deeper now. It's kind of fun to watch because you don't know what's going to happen week in and week out.
The big four is a myth created by the Golf Channel to have something to talk about because they don't want to discuss players that fans may not relate to right away. It's a crock. They're so, you're exactly right. They're so deep and anybody could win. I was just looking at the list. There's five or six guys that have multiple wins this year.
Yeah, it's fun. It's a great time to be a golf fan. Yes, obviously for most of the year, we missed the big guy out there in Tiger Woods, but the field is so deep now. It's fun to watch week in and week out. It's hard to figure out who's going to play well and who's not, who's going to fall backwards. The world rankings are so interesting to watch how much they've been fluctuating all year long. The game of golf is in good hands.
It really is. And I know you said we're, you know, the big guy not out there. I assume you're talking about Thursdays and Fridays.
Yes, Thursdays and Fridays.
Before we continue, I want to remind everybody that they can discuss these topics and all the topics on the THP forum with thousands of golfers every single day. And of course, you can follow, discuss, debate, and interact with both myself and the Dean of THP on Twitter, at THPGolf and at Dean of THP. Now, we've mentioned it a couple of times, the golf course. How excited are you that it's back?
You know, I like it. It's not too far away from my home base. You know, I think it's about a 2.5-hour drive. So that part is kind of nice. I like seeing big tournaments come up to the Northeast and, you know, being in this area, we're lucky we're going to have quite a few tournaments here within the next, and I think it's 5 to 7 years. But Baltusrol, it's a historic venue. You know, it's had 7 U.S. Opens. It's had 4 U.S. Amateurs. This will be its second PGA. Oh, and it's also had 2 women's U.S. Opens. So we've had a lot of big-time tournaments here. You know, a Tillinghast design. He designed Bethpage. I believe he designed Wingfoot as well. Those are also big-time courses, and you can see little similarities in the design as well. I like it. I'm pretty jazzed up for this venue. Where I wasn't so excited for Troon, I'm pretty excited for Baltusrol.
Built in 1895, do you know it's actually a National Historic Landmark now?
That part I did not know.
Yeah.
Interesting.
I want to say it was just a couple of years ago it was named that as well. It's a pretty cool story. Held the PGA Championship. It's held, like you said, multiple U.S. Opens. Held the PGA Championship in 2005, and who won that one?
2005, that would be Phil Mickelson beating out Steve Elkington on the last hole with that little Phil flop shot to a foot on the final hole to win it.
That's correct. And it was a low scoring, meaning not really low scores tournament, if I remember correctly. Didn't he win it with like 4 or 5 under?
Yeah, he was 4 under, and that was a Monday finish. You know, if you look back and remember, and I do remember, you know, at the time, Tiger Woods finished at 2 under. And mm-hmm. He finished on that Sunday, and everybody came back, and he kind of left town because he had a few other guys that were in that 3 range, and he figured, you know, they weren't going to come back to him. And as soon as Elkington finished at 3 under, you know, he was in the clear, and it just came down to that last hole, which, you know, it's an interesting one because it ends with 2 par 5s.
Correct.
For a major championship. It's, I mean, number 17, it's... you know, I can only think of John Daly that got there in 2. So it's a very long hole, you know, over 650 yards. So getting there in 2 is tough. It's a true 3-shot par 5. But 18, you can get there in 2. And that's what Phil tried to do. You know, he hit that 4-wood between the green and the bunker on the right there. Just made that little, you know, pitch shot and tapped in for a 1-shot victory at 4 under.
And now this is playing at a par 70, I believe, correct?
Yes, par 70.
And right around 7,400 yards?
It's going to be just a little over 7,400 yards, which is, you know, the last time it was in the high 7,300s, so not too much extra distance from what we saw, you know, 2005.
And I know the ball rolls real well out there, but this is a beast of a course.
Yeah, it's a big course. I mean, the par 3s are all long. There's only one of them that's under 200 yards, and, you know, that's 195. All the other ones are well over 200 yards. Yeah, they did him a favor there. All the other ones are over 200 yards, which, you know, to some of the PGA pros, you know, that's still like a 6-iron or 7-iron.
Yeah.
But, you know, to me, it's a driver. It is a very long course. You know, they have 2 par 5s additional on there that are being played as par 4s during the week.
Yeah, I'm going off memory and I don't have the notes in front of me, but isn't the first hole just an absolute beast?
Yeah, the first hole, you know, it's on the card, it's 478 yards. That's one that is a par 5 for the members.
Yeah, and it's par 4 for the guys.
They play it as a par 4 for the guys here, but it's a very, very long hole. You know, I like the design of it. The fairways are, I don't want to say extremely narrow. They're mildly generous. There's some nice bunkering down along the sides of almost every single fairway there. It really is a very nice course to look at.
So do you think we'll see low scores, or, you know, we've seen them recently, or do you think that we're going to be seeing, you know, kind of more close to par?
You know, I get the feeling the last time it was there, it was four under, but just taking a look at the last four PGA championships, you know, last year was 20 under with Jason Day. Mm-hmm. I doubt we'll see that. Rory was 16 under at Valhalla. Back time at Oak Hill, Jason Duffner was minus 10, and then Rory at Kiowa was minus 13. So I have a feeling we'll see something in probably that 8 to 12 range under par.
I said 10 under wins it, and, you know, again, it's a crapshoot right now. We don't have the weather or anything like that yet, but I don't think it's going to be 20 under. I don't think we'll see that.
No, I don't expect it to play like Whistling Straits did last year. That was just a birdie fest. This is the kind of tournament that I actually like to see play out. You know, it's not one where guys go out and make birdie after birdie after birdie. I think it's going to be a mix of what we've seen at the U.S. Open and what we saw last year at Whistling Straits. So if you put it somewhere in the middle, the rough is a little penalizing. You know, not so much that they have to just punch out, but they're going to have a hard time holding the greens as long as the weather cooperates. And we'll see. I don't think the scores are going to be super low, but yeah, I would say somewhere, like you said, around 10 under, that's going to be a winning score.
Dean, did you know that Encore is the title sponsor of the All-American Gateway Tour?
I did not.
168 players from this tour have gone on to play on the PGA Tour. This is interesting news that I just found this out. Encore also has a premium ball, tour premium ball, coming in 2017. More distance, more feel, more spin, and of course, more performance. If you want to give them a try, check out their complete line at their website, www.encoregolf.com. It's sleeper time. Are you ready?
I'm ready. I have four names down, but I don't know exactly which way I'm going to go yet. Since you picked the Open Championship correctly, I'm going to give you the first pick.
Before you do that, let's give everybody the criteria. When we pick sleepers, we're talking golfers that are outside of the top 40. We believe that they will make some waves, whether they win, whether they don't win. We believe they will make some waves on the weekend, and they must be outside the top 40.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
So you want me to go first, huh?
I'm going to let you go first since you know, you successfully picked Henrik Stenson to be the Open Champion Golfer of the Year.
I am going to go with Tony Finau. For guys that don't know them, he won already this year. He's played in four majors so far, and in three of his first four, he's been in the top 20. He hits it an absolute mile, and minus getting kind of screwed at the Open Championship, you know, when he spun it all the way back, he would have been right up there with the, I call it the second event, you know, the guys, J.B. Holmes and everybody that were playing behind Phil and Henrik that were playing obviously a different golf course. He would have been right in the mix. So I'm going to take him. I think he's got a chance to really put on a show here because he hits the driver as straight as anybody out there.
Okay, I like that pick. You know, and he played well in the PGA Championship last year, so we'll see if he can have back-to-back good years. I am going to stick with the thought that it's going to be a first-time winner, at least for this pick, and I'm going to go with Jimmy Walker. He's got the length. If he could put the ball in the fairway and make some putts, it's kind of a course where you can maneuver the ball around. I think it kind of suits what Jimmy Walker's game is. He hasn't shown the best form exactly coming into it, but he's a name that I like. It would seem fitting for him to grab a major. And I kind of just am feeling Jimmy Walker as a major champion this year for the PGA Championship. You know, if we think that the PGA Championship is the fourth major, maybe the most boring major, it kind of suits in perfectly with Jimmy Walker.
Early on in the seasons, up until this one, he was about as steady as anybody on tour. Multiple wins, everything else. So,
yeah.
Good pick. I like where you're at. Now, for my second sleeper, I'm going to take a Dean of THP alum on the sleeper column, and I'm going to go with Billy Ho Golf, Billy Horschel. And the reasoning behind that is I have no reasoning whatsoever. I watched him hit some balls at the Open Championship, and I've been following him a lot this year. He cannot putt. putt to save his life right now. But other than that, he's hitting the ball well. And what he does do well will serve this course well, which is he's driving it well, and his short game around the greens has been fantastic. He also is a great fairway bunker player, and I know that's a big deal at this golf course. So I think he's got a chance, and like I said, I don't really have sound reasoning, but I like it. I like it.
Well, it's a sleeper pick, so we don't really need sound reasoning. I mean, I took Molinari in the Open Championship because he was the same world ranking as Todd Hamilton when he won it. I'm not sure we need exact sound reason for these guys.
And he played well.
And he did play well. You know, he didn't win, but, you know, he played pretty well. I'm going to go with another guy who played pretty well at the Open Championship at Well. He's won this tournament before, so he would not be a first-time major winner, and it's going to be Jason Duffner. And
like, is it big Jason Duffner or thin Jason Duffner?
We're going to say medium Jason Duffner. And the reason I'm going with Jason Duffner is
you like Waggles.
I do like the Waggles. You know, right now he's 15th on the Ryder Cup points. He's a guy that likes to be on the Ryder Cup team. I know he doesn't show a lot of emotion on the course, but we see it come out of him when he's at the Ryder Cup event, which is fantastic. So I'm going to go with Jason Duffner for hopes that he wants to get on that Ryder Cup team. He wants to make it. And I think he might need a win to really vault him up into that top nine. So I'm going to go with Jason Duffner.
That's actually pretty sound reasoning. And he does love the Ryder Cup.
Yeah, he's a guy who he just, you know, he embraces the Ryder Cup. And it's kind of funny because you watch him, you know, week in, week out on tour. And you're like, you know, this guy's kind of dull. He doesn't show any emotion. And then you get him in the Ryder Cup and, you know, he's fist pumping and putting both fists in the air. And it's fun to see. So I think he's going to play well with hopes of being on that Ryder Cup team.
It's funny. He is the epitome of how fast news moves and how fast people forget, because Duffnering was a thing about a year ago.
Yeah, not too long ago.
Now, that leads us to prediction time. Two players that we think golf fans should be focusing on this weekend and why. Based on our history and heritage, we have the weight of the world on our shoulders. Going for the prediction Grand Slam here is we picked Willett in the Masters, DJ in the U.S. Open, and topped off the threesome with Henrik Stenson in the Open. So, we're batting 1,000. Can we live up to the hype?
I'm feeling the pressure. I really am. I don't know which way to go with these picks, but we're going to find out. Not too long from now, we're going to find out if we are going to win, you know, the season grand slam of picks.
It's truly, you know, history making. Well, not really, and it means nothing, but it's a lot of fun, and we enjoy doing it, and we have had some been on a great roll this year.
So. I'm getting a T-shirt made if we do this, just so you know.
Okay.
I want to celebrate it. It's a big deal.
I can assure you the show after that will be popping champagne and may have to do that one live on video.
Oh, okay. Yeah. No. Yeah. Maybe I don't need the T-shirt then.
So I went first with the sleepers. It's your turn to go first for the predictions. Who you got?
All right. So my first pick, this guy has also won a major. Not just a major. He's won two. And the pick is going to be Bubba Watson. It's a little risky at this course, but I look at Bubba Watson and what he does at Riviera. Riviera is a course where you know, can't stray too far offline with the driver, and he's played pretty well there, including winning this year. He hasn't exactly done in majors what we thought he might have done this year after the good spring.
You mean get mad at his caddy? He's done that.
He's very temperamental about courses. You know, you can see it in his interviews, whether he likes the venue or not. For some reason, I think he's going to like this venue. I think it's going to suit up to his eye. You know, those last two par fives, he's going to have the firepower to get to 18 and two. And if he puts it in the fairway, I wouldn't be surprised to see him give 17 a rip. I think Bubba Watson could be a player here at Baltusrol.
I actually really like that pick. I will say, is he having a problem with his feet? I noticed he had orthopedic shoes on this last week, or they're just poorly designed shoes. I couldn't tell.
Well, I mean, he was playing over in a foreign country. He probably thought he was walking on the moon and had to wear some special shoes for that. I don't know his reasoning for wearing them. They're not my cup of tea, but he's still going to be my pick regardless of what's on his feet.
Gotcha. Okay, I'm going to go total chalk here. I'm going with Jason Day. I battled this pick for a while because, you know, it's a lot of weeks in a row where he's playing. But he's been playing great golf. He hits the ball well off the tee. his length won't be an issue. And he showed some signs of the putting coming around at the Open Championship. And I just think he's got the chance to make his mark. He's been looking for that thing. He finally got the monkey off his back last year. This one just has his name written all over it.
It could be. I don't have it off the top of my head the last time that the number one player in the world won the major. I don't remember if Spieth was number one when he won it at Chambers Bay.
If he wasn't, he was right there. I think
if
he
he's
was.
Not, it was if it wasn't him, it was probably Rory at the PGA Championship. I don't know. I've been very down on Jason Day in majors this year. We've had some talk of that on the THP forum. If anybody wants to jump in on the conversation, we have it going on there. But I've been pretty down on him, what he's done in the majors this year. And we'll see what he does. It's a course that could set up for him. He obviously has the length. And let's not forget, he's already won three times this year, including, you know, a Players' Championship. So it wouldn't surprise
me. Players' Championship, WGC, and Bay Hill.
Yeah, I mean, it wouldn't surprise me. It's a total chalk pick. I mean, come on, really? You picked the number one player in the world as your first pick to win a major.
Yeah, it is pretty weak, but I'm going with Jason Day. The pressure's on, Dean. I'm feeling the pressure.
All right. Okay, so Jason, we both picked guys as our true picks, as guys who have won majors already, right?
Correct. I'll warn you, my second pick has already won a few majors too.
All right, so it's going to come down to me, I guess. We need to figure out a guy who's going to win this thing who hasn't won a major. And I think it's time. I think it's time
don't
that this guy
it.
Wins
don't
a major.
It.
Who do you think I'm going to say?
I'm pretty sure you're going to say Sergio.
No, I'm not. Sergio. Okay.
He's let you down a number of times here.
He's let me down. You know, I picked him for the Open. He played well, and I think he will get a major eventually. This is another European. This is another, maybe, you know, Colin Montgomery. Look how happy he is. He's got all these majors now.
Because he starred in Mrs. Doubtfire.
You know, he plays 3 days a week. He's as happy as could be. You can make an argument he played 3 days a week on the PGA Tour, too, but that's
well, you could make an
story.
Argument that there's a number of PGA Tour players doing that as well, but that's neither here nor there.
Very true. This guy, I think it's time for him, and for the first time, I think I'm actually rooting for this to happen, and that's going to be Lee Westwood. He's another guy. He could be
Are
straight
off. Are you just
off
trying to throw away our winning streak?
No. You know, I was originally going to say name somebody the best player without a major, because the last two episodes we've done that for major shows, those guys have gone on to win. I don't think I can deem that right now. I don't really like anybody else out there. I don't like the current form of Ricky Fowler. Sergio's burned me enough. So I'm going to dip farther into the well and go with Lee Westwood. And
it's the wrong well.
It might be the wrong well. You never know.
No, actually, it's crazy it is to say, his game actually suits this course as well.
It does, and I think it's time. He's too good of a player to have not cashed in on one of these opportunities yet. He's played okay in the majors this season. The PGA has never been his, you know, best suited major championship, but I think this is going to be the week for him. If he's going to get off the schneid, I think it's going to happen this week at Baltusrol.
Well, my final pick is going to be a big letdown for you.
Save us, Josh. Save us.
It's going to be a big letdown.
Let me guess. Rory McIlroy.
No. Oh. I'm going with Phil Mickelson. And this was a tough one. I actually had 17 guys written down, but I watched the way he played and I watched his interview afterward. Obviously, we know he plays the course well. And you know, he wins. Yes, a couple weeks ago at the Open, that round, he wins the majority of majors. I don't think the putting was as good as what was doing it. He hit the ball so well, and he even said afterward, he's hitting the ball as well as he has in a long time. I don't know what it is. I think he's got one more chance at this, and I think this is going to be it.
It's possible. It wouldn't surprise me to see him contend or win this week. But I don't know. He is definitely coming off of a great major championship. He's in good form. You know, like we've touched on, the field is so deep. You know, the odds of us getting a fourth straight major right is pretty slim, you know, especially with your picks. We'll see what happens.
You took Lee Westwood.
I took Lee Westwood. I went outside the box.
You went. You kicked the box down the street.
That's
and
right.
Stole a new box that was rancid.
And I can't wait to hold that box up over my head and scream that we won four straight when Lee Westwood is holding the Wanamaker trophy.
That would be amazing. And I'm actually rooting for you because I'd like to see Lee get one.
I just think it's time for him. You know, he's come so close, and I like him more now than I did when he was the number one player in the world. I don't know why.
Everybody
it's just
kind
of odd. I just think it's time for him. He's had such a great career, and it would be good to see him, you know, finally get that monkey off his back.
It's a pretty big monkey. Now, finally, it's a major, and on THP, that means a big contest. Now, we just gave away a driver. They had their choice of any Cobra driver. What are we going to do for this one, and how are we going to top that? Well, we're going to make it a little better. You want to know how we're going to do that, Dean?
I would love to know.
We're going to tell you you can have any driver you want.
Oh, okay.
Any driver that's out in 2016, you can have it if you win. Their job is going to be to pick who wins. They should probably listen to our picks, well, my picks. And if they win, they get to pick any driver they want. One winner, and the lucky person will be on THP, and we will have that up. Actually, it is up right now, so you will be able to go on the THP forum and find that thread that says PGA Championship Contest and Thread, and follow all the rules on how to enter.
Yeah, that's definitely a good contest. So just to recap for everybody that wants to enter into that contest, you know, my picks were Matt Jones, Jamie Donaldson, Jim Herman, and Ian Poulter. So good luck.
Is Ian Poulter qualified for this one?
I don't know, but I hope somebody submits those, and that way I'll have a better chance of winning one of those drivers.
That was, I think, outside of Sunday being the greatest round, arguably in major history, him not playing in it was up there with my favorite moments.
Okay, so then we'll take him out, or we'll put Colt Knost in. Why not?
Really making a push to win this one, aren't you?
I would like it. Any driver you want that came out in 2016, it's a heck of a prize.
It really is. So there you have it. Another episode of The Dean Has Spoken is in the books. You can join us on the THP forum to discuss and debate everything we talked about here. And of course, follow along on Twitter at THP Golf and at Dean of THP. Don't forget to head over to iTunes and subscribe to The Hacker's Paradise so you never miss a new episode of The Dean Has Spoken, The Golf Industry Uncut, or On the Tee Box. And don't forget to leave a review if you agree with our picks or not. Let us know. We want to hear from you. We love the engagement. So for myself and of course Dean, we hope you enjoyed this new episode. Bye, everybody.
THP Radio on the Hackers Paradise Podcast Network, your number one source for golf.